Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 122, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers welcome. And fuck Fox News. Welcome. It's Friday, February 28th, 2020. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. just go to Joe30330Brian. That is courtesy of Frank Gang, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray! It's
Miles Gray, a.k.a. the Blazing Brian Urlacher, a.k.a. Chicago No Hair Airport. Billboards, I saw a few walking through town.
Yeah, man. That's like the
His hairline's a little off, though.
Right.
Looks like a little bit like a beret.
Yeah. Hey. I don't know. So is it it's transplant surgery? Is that what they're advertising?
Hey, man, whatever it is, man, I'm loving it.
It's. I was saying to Miles on the way back from Chicago O'Hare yesterday to the hotel that I feel like half of the advertisements I've seen in Chicago the past like 3 times I've been here have all been for Brian Urlacher has hair now.
Yeah.
That seems to be the message.
You love to see it.
You love to see it.
You know, I love to see it.
Miles,
mm-hmm.
We are on the road right now,
yep,
with our time machine super producer, Anna Hosnier, and we were in Chicago last night with the hilarious and talented Mr. Daniel Van Kirk, and we are in Toronto tonight,
mm-hmm,
in the grand finale, February 28th at the Great Hall with Mark Little. So for tickets, go to dailyzeitgeist.com. Go to the live appearances.
Get in while you fit in.
Get in while you fit in. This is the last one. This has been a really fun run of shows. It'll be your last chance to see this version of our show. I think it's the best one we've done yet. So fly to Toronto if you have to. This is it, guys. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented guy who co-hosted our live show with us last night. The wonderful Mr. Daniel Kirk.
Hey, hey, hey. How are you?
Hey,
man?
Hey, hey.
What's
man?
Up, dude?
Hi, friends. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Double dip with you anytime. That company is called Restore.
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 Yeah. They did Ryan Sandberg and
Ryan Sandberg?
Yeah. And
Jim
Brian
McMahon?
Urlacher. I don't think they did Jimmy Mack.
Gary Gaetti?
QB. Yes, dude, of course Gary Gaetti.
You know what the ultimate, the holy grail would be? Michael Jordan. He just comes through with a full head
like
of hair.
Like North Carolina in 82 or
something. I am Michael Jordan. And I want to grow hair for the first time in my life. I want to grow hair better than anyone else.
When he made fun of himself at the Kobe tribute, it was genius.
That was amazing.
Crushed it.
Because the last 20 things he's done in public have suggested he has no sense of humor about himself. Yeah. So then him to be like, oh, shit.
Or I wonder if it was really like the story when he said his wife was like, hey, they're going to make a meme out of you.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you talking about? And she shows him the apps and shit. He's like, what the fuck?
He has gotten married in the past couple of years. So maybe to a younger woman. So maybe
she gets that meme culture, baby.
She's put him in his place.
I wonder what it was like to explain to him the first time he saw the meme. If he's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Why?
I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm going to look into that. Damn.
He probably was like, am I the most popular meme?
Yeah, it's like, there's an app.
Yeah,
it's pretty much part of the vocabulary of the internet now.
Are you saying I excelled in another arena of life?
In a way, yes.
Yes.
Correct.
He's like, did I beat the weird SpongeBob?
But this is
it's
fine.
It's like, wait, but you know that one?
This is fine, dog.
Yeah, that's weird that you know that one, but...
He's like, all right, I'm head out.
Well, Daniel, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about on today's episode. We've got a Florida woman that we want to check in with.
A dark tale.
Dark tale.
Yeah.
A lot of darkness in the news cycle these days. Not all darkness, but we are going to breathe a sigh of relief because the coronavirus epidemic now has renowned virologist Mike Pence on the case.
Yep.
So everybody's feeling good.
Take your masks off, guys.
He's going to shock the corona out of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also just, it seems like the Trump administration has chosen this to be the thing that they're going to micromanage and make sure their fingerprints are all over, which not great, not great news for anyone. We're going to talk about the article in the New York Times that has some troubling things for anybody who was hoping that they weren't gonna kind of make the DNC this summer a complete clusterfuck. They're apparently, even if Sanders has an overwhelming lead in delegates, they're going to give it to somebody else, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like Sanders has any chance unless he wins the majority based on this. I think it was like hundreds of interviews that they conducted with 98.
There's 98 of 98 people who are, or 93.
98 superdelegates,
93,
right?
Rather.
They're all going to go Biden.
Who don't know? They're just being like,
they're going to go Biden.
Right. That does seem like where
he's part
it's
of the
headed.
System.
Yeah, I know.
So I tell everybody, 4 years ago, he wanted to be president too. They just told him, no, sit down, it's Hillary.
Yeah.
You think in the last 4 years, he was like, I'm 4 years older. I'm not
I'm ready,
young.
Coach.
Now I want to do
it.
No, they told him, sit down. We're not going to let Bernie do it. It's going to be Hillary. So he went on Letterman and smiled his way through an interview.
Right.
And then now 4 years later, he's like, okay, now I can. And they're like,
boy.
Sure, go ahead.
God. Yeah.
Like, can you at least say you're running for president when you go out there, not Senate?
We're going to say RIP to Beards. We're going to talk about Amazon opening a humanless grocery store. And Reddit has a thread that's pretty entertaining. Best website you visited nobody knows about. And I discovered a couple cool things on there. So we'll look at some of that. But first, Daniel, we like to ask our guest, as you know, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are, sir?
The most nerve-wracking part of this show.
Not for us.
Well, I went back. A lot of them were just tied into prepping for a live show of my own podcast that we just recently did, so they weren't fun. So I went back to the most recent one. Search history was Antiques Roadshow Man with Rolex.
Oh, shit.
Have you guys seen that
one?
No.
What happened?
This guy in Vietnam bought a Rolex, saved up for it, and then he decided, I think he ordered it, catalog ordered it maybe, and then he decided it was too nice to, I'm going to give this all away, is that
Yeah,
he
on.
Decided it was too nice to
wear. Let's just do a spoiler alert for Antiques Roadshow.
Yes.
Do you remember the episode and season number?
No, but if you hit in Rolex guy.
Okay, so if you see that clip, just so you know, skip ahead
30
seconds.
You want to watch it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So, he put it in a safety deposit box with everything. The receipt, the order form, the warranty, which is not filled out, the box, the watch. It ended up being like the same one that Paul Newman wears in some famous movie. Not the same exact watch, but the same model.
Right.
But the model he got has Oyster on the face, which is a thing that Paul Newman's didn't even have. And it has like the lock-in dials for if you want to go scuba diving.
Mm-hmm.
And just alone, a blank warranty card from Rolex from like the 70s or whatever is worth like $2,000.
A blank warranty card?
Yeah, because you could still fill it out for any watch. You could have a new watch now as long as you have that card and fill yours out. So like those are very sought after. So the guy tells him, he was like, this watch normally at auction would go from anywhere from $300,000 to $400,000. He bought it for $375, right? So then the guy like faints. He falls down.
Oh,
like,
wow. Faints,
right? And he is everything you would picture, like cool Vietnam guy looking guy.
Yeah.
Like, big white hair, big white beard. He's got like the bandana, like anything.
Oh, not a Vietnamese guy, a guy who was like a nom vet.
Yes,
almost.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Got it.
Sorry
got it.
If I didn't convey that well enough. So the guy gets up and he goes, "Are you okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, I just can't believe." He's like, "Well, hold on, because your watch is better than that."
And then he faints again.
Yeah. And he really was like, "I need you to, you're okay?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Because of the Oyster, because of the lockdown, because that it's literally almost never been worn, because you have every level of documentation, this watch at auction could go up to $750,000.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was he? So was he just stoked or just like in
tears? Oh, yeah. He couldn't believe it. Yeah. The guy was like, just understand if you put this on, because part of it is that it's never been worn. It's one of the greatest timepieces in the world.
Oh, and it's like box fresh. Like nearly, it's basically a dead stock. Because
he just was like,
Rolex.
I'll just put it in a security deposit box. I don't want, I shouldn't have bought this.
Do they do backstories on that show?
No, they don't ever go deep enough.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always curious to know like with their situation and like if this is going to help them or if they're already doing well. But if you're fainting, I mean, shit, I don't know. Unless you're like, you know, a billionaire. If someone says, yeah, this thing that you got for $300 is worth, well, what is that, 100 times that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Or he's going to donate it all to the Bloomberg campaign.
He already did.
1,000 times that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's good. What is something you think is overrated?
I'm sorry to say it, but I believe that Knives Out is overrated.
I haven't seen it.
I don't care about anybody. Did you see it, Jack?
No, I haven't seen it.
You don't care about anybody.
You don't in the movie. There's nobody you care about. Like none of the characters. Don't care about any of them.
Oh, it's like you're just looking into
diorama. Yes. Is it amazingly written? Is it amazingly performed? The costume design and the set decorate, everything is phenomenal. It's a great movie. I love that it's an original. It's an original film that did extremely well. Great to have those in theaters, especially studio films.
Right.
But
overrated.
Yeah, because I just didn't care. I didn't care about what happened to any of these people.
Is it by design? Like
yes.
That's sort of the vibe of the film. It's
yes.
Sort of like, I don't know,
so
man.
You're kind of
pick
in it
one.
For the trick, like
right,
seeing
right.
How it works out. And that is great. But I
what is the time. Premise of it?
It's a murder mystery.
Yeah, it's a murder
oh, like
mystery.
Clue kind of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah,
yes.
It's Clue-ish.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Are there other like classic movies? Not that Knives Out is necessarily like part of the canon yet, but are there other movies that everybody loves that you have a similar complaint with where you're like, yeah, I just don't care about the characters?
I couldn't think of it. Although a movie that did pretty well that everybody seemed to like that I was like, this movie is horrible, was Game Night.
Game Night?
Yeah. With the... Chandler, Jesse Plemons is in it. He's amazing in it,
yeah.
But I just don't care about anybody.
Steve Carell?
Is no.
He? Nope. No. Jason
Date
Bateman.
Night. That's Date Night. Yes, Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different Night.
Different Night. And yeah, yeah.
I felt that same way about Ready or Not, too. I was like, I don't care about any of these people.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
which one's Ready or Not?
That's the woman who has to survive the night playing hide and go seek with a whole bunch of killers.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
These are all the kinds of movies I'm just like, oh, something came out. But also, I'm just terrible at watching movies.
Yeah.
It takes a lot for
you
me
just,
to...
Like,
I got to get that pass, man. I keep talking shit about getting one of those...
Fall out of your chair.
Yeah, do it.
I keep talking shit about getting one of those passes so I can just like walk into an AMC at will and then just, you know, roll my eyes back in the theater.
I love it.
What is something you think is underrated?
The Outsider on HBO. I don't think enough people are talking about this TV show.
I'm hearing quite a bit about
Possibly the best... In my opinion, the best adaptation of a Stephen King story since Stand By Me, which is
That's
my favorite movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very, very good. It's a smart crime procedural wrapped in a Stephen King dream.
That right. First episode, I was just like, oh,
are you watching
boy. I know. I just saw I only had time to watch the first one. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need to like, I think I'm gonna want to just fly through it. So yeah. I'll probably do the thing I did with Watchmen, where like basically the week before the finale, just caught everything. Hey, so that's then not I can just hop
you
in
got,
finale.
You got
night.
Two more weeks.
All right.
That's how I actually am with the Antiques Roadshow clip. I've watched like the first 30, 45 seconds, but I'm gonna find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
You
finish
never
it
find
later
out what
on.
That doll's
yeah.
worth.
Yeah. Yeah, I keep hearing that it's supernatural stuff, right?
Maybe,
but we don't know. Okay,
that's what I'm saying. That crime procedural level of it is
right.
so good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just very good.
Right.
And smart. You know, I hate TV shows when you're like, she would ask more.
Right, the detective. Right,
like
right.
when somebody walks in, like, what are you doing here? Nothing. Like, all okay. right, take care. Like, they'd be like, no, I asked you a question. What? They're
right,
smart.
Yeah.
Everybody's smart in the show,
yeah,
which
right.
I enjoy.
Yeah. What are you mopping up there, blood?
Right.
Nope.
Nope. All okay. right. See you later.
Checks out.
You need help?
Right. Did you guys watch American Horror Story?
No.
The first season, that's the whole problem. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, they're dumb.
Connie Britton, mm-hmm. and I think it's Mulroney. Dilbert Maroney.
Okay.
Maybe it's Dylan McDermott. It's Dylan McDermott. Dylan McDermott and Connie Britton, they are married. They move into this haunted house that they don't know is haunted, right?
Mm.
And they have a maid who comes with the house.
Mm-hmm.
When he looks at her, she's dressed like a sex worker who's working.
Uh-huh.
But because not all sex workers dress like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But she looks like she's on, right?
Right.
She's ready to do a show.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When the wife looks at her, she's an old witch-looking woman. And these two never talk about what the maid looks like. At any point, one of them is never like, so our maid looks like
kind
a
of
witch,
a strong
right?
vibe,
right?
Huh?
And then the other one would be like, hey, is it bother you that our maid is walking around in basically like a slutty maid outfit?
Like nothing?
Like,
right. Yeah.
No, they don't even talk. I'm like, oh, so this show works as long as people don't communicate in normal ways.
Like
that's
right.
when I'm
a couple.
Out when it's that one. I'm like, you're smarter than you would say that.
Yeah. Unless like internally he's like, I don't want to ruin this for me, dude.
I don't know.
I don't
chill.
Call it out.
Yeah, and she didn't have a problem with it. Like, I'm not gonna say nothing.
We have an incredible. Open relationship. We just don't talk about it.
Do exactly. you see them have conversations about it where like they just say things that are vague enough that
yes.
they're like, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. that's yeah. terrible.
Yeah.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Based on the time we all spent in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
I want everyone to know that it is a myth that you have to pay money to go up to the John Hancock building, even though it's called something else. I'll never call it whatever it is now.
Uh-huh.
But the John Hancock building, you have to pay money to go up to the observation and look out over the beautiful views of the city. That is a myth. All you have to do is say you're going to the signature room, which is the restaurant two floors below the observation deck.
Mm-hmm.
Say you want a water, or maybe you do want a whiskey mm-hmm. or a wine, whatever that is. You pay less money than you would have paid for the observation deck. You can sit there and enjoy a cocktail and look out over
the
whole
and you're only
city.
Just two floors below.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to even be more deep. It's like, you don't have to pay. What you do, you rent a wheelchair. It's like, oh, okay. It's a myth.
Now you
guys.
Have to fake a seizure.
No,
so.
It's a myth that you have to pay money to see those great views.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that
yeah.
Sears Tower? Is that
no, Sears no. is now called something that starts with a W.
Oh, wow.
I know what it is. I just don't want to say it.
Oh,
but
wow.
I like that.
Sears Tower is Sears Tower, and then John Hancock is over on Michigan Avenue, like 900.
What do you got against Willis?
Huh?
The Willis Tower.
I don't know. What's Willis talking about?
Yeah. Never. He's never answered that question.
He never
to my
does.
Satisfaction.
He never says, here's what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Come okay. on, Willis. You want to know what I'm talking about?
Right.
This is what Willis is talking about.
Right. I can't see a show about communication.
There's got to be a magazine article from sometime in the last like 40 years. It's like what Willis is talking about.
Yeah.
Like the Bruce Willis story or like something. Bruce Willis comes clean. All right. Let's
what
talk
are you talking about Phyllis. Phyllis Diller, an intimate portrait.
Ooh, hello. So we have a very strange crime story from Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have all the little details because it's Florida.
The headline is out
what is
there.
It?
So I'm just going to describe what happened. Apparently, this woman, she was arrested mm-hmm. because her boyfriend was found in a suitcase dead. And when the cops say, they're like, well, yo, what's going on here? She said, oh, you know, we're playing a little drunken game of getting the fucking suitcase. Apparently, we're like, they were both drunk and like, I guess, taking turns getting in the suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got in, she admitted that she zipped the man in the suitcase and then went upstairs and then like woke up like she passed out And then when she got there, he was dead inside this suitcase. But that was just the beginning, because the investigators obviously, like, they, you know, took her in.
Airtight.
They take her phone.
Yeah.
They find two different videos that may indicate that this may have just been a murder. So, yeah, not like it's like, you know, a drunken game of getting the suitcase went awry.
Right.
So they said one video shows the man in the suitcase just yelling, saying he can't breathe while she's like laughing.
No.
Yeah. And she's like laughing at his like screams. And then he's like, I can't fucking breathe. Seriously.
Wait, he FaceTimed her from inside the
suitcase? No, no. She was videotaping him.
On her phone.
Yeah, gotcha. And then, but this is where it gets, I don't know, this is a little bit darker. So she's saying, yeah, that's what you do when you choke me. She said, that's on you. Oh, that's what I feel like when you cheat on me.
Damn.
And they were like, so then the cops, there's a moment, this in the write-up, there, the investigators were like grilling her about it. And then like the line, it says, she does admit that, quote, it did, quote, look bad. and
look,
now
guys,
she's being charged with
second
degree murder.
I know this looks bad.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Of course she is.
That happens in movies and the people end up proving their innocence. But
yeah.
I don't think that's a good thing to say to the police when you're being interrogated.
No.
Look, I get it.
This looks really bad. But you don't play suitcase zippy uppy?
Right.
This is what I think. So he cheated on her.
Uh-huh. Right?
She wanted to get him back. Or sometimes in their hopefully mostly or consensual sex, he chokes her more than she wants, at least it seems like from what she said. So she devised, oh, I'll get in the suitcase and then he'll get in the suitcase and then I won't let him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died, maybe by accident. But then she just wanted to not take ownership over any of it. Now it's all falling apart.
Or he was like, it was a straight up abusive relationship. And she decided to just off him like that.
Come on with that. Lean into that.
But
that
you'd think that would
be
explained.
You want to know what happened
here? It's like, yeah, this guy's a monster. And
I didn't mean to kill him, but I was trying to get him back.
Yeah, fuck with him.
I'm just trying to think of how that plan goes in her mind ahead of time. Like, how do you get somebody to
voluntarily
climb into a suitcase?
Because you gotta go. That's how.
But why is it even a thing?
Let's see if we both fit in a suitcase.
What is the? I guess it's like
I would stupidly walk into that trap.
Yes,
you would be like,
if someone brought out a big ass suitcase,
bet you can't fit into this suitcase.
I'm so claustrophobic, I wouldn't get in. But the idea, I could get suckered into something like, let's see if we can walk across this.
It appeals to like stupid human experiments, basically.
Yes.
And I think too, if the woman was like smaller, but she was so small in the suitcase, he's like, I bet I could. She's like, I bet you could fit in this thing. He's like, yeah, probably. You're drunk. You pass out. I don't know. It's that story is developing.
Wow. That is nightmarish. So the thing that killed him was just being price
suffocated.
No,
price-suffocated.
He died of a broken heart.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and like we said, the potential outbreak of the coronavirus in the United States is now in the capable hands of Mike Pence to pray the coronavirus away.
Mother, what should we do
about
this?
That's what many people, well, a lot of people also worried is like a lot of the scientists at the CDC that he might have to work with, many are women. So they're like, so is mother going to have to like accompany him?
I know.
But I guess he just can't be alone. So as long as there's other aides, they'll be fine. But so, you know, in a health crisis like this, there's like the CDC, the, you know, Health and Human Services Department. Alex Azar, who runs that, was caught off guard when suddenly Mike Pence was put in charge of it because he was like, okay, so he'll do it. That's
like
fine.
At the press conference, he's like, wait, what?
Yeah, like almost like, damn, really?
Right.
So if you look at his record, a lot of people, the first thing they're saying is like, he is not good when it comes to anything resembling an epidemic or anything resembling having to like believe science. So, you know, first, I just want to set the table. Like in 2000, he wrote, this is from an op-ed he wrote in 2000 about cigarettes. Despite the hysteria from the political class and the media, smoking doesn't kill. In fact, 2 out of every 3 smokers does not die from a smoking-related illness, and 9 out of 10 smokers do not contract lung cancer. This is not to say that smoking is good for you. Newsflash, smoking is not good for you. If you are reading this article through the blue haze of cigarette smoke, you should quit.
Mm.
Boom, solved.
Yeah.
So that's where he comes from on that one. Or maybe someone from Philip Morris, like, you know, hooked him up with a bit of a donation. Yeah. So now, just we should take a look at some of his previous experiences with handling health crises. So as like a congressman and governor, he's always been trying to defund Planned Parenthood because of he's, you know, obviously pro or anti-choice is actually what you should say.
Right.
Because he just wants to completely do away with abortions. And as he was successfully able to do that as governor, he didn't realize that Planned Parenthood does more than just perform abortions.
Yeah.
So at the time,
why educate yourself on something you hate?
Don't need to, because I don't like it.
Right.
If I read about it, I might like it. Right. Or I don't even know about it because it grows me.
Why would I try and understand something?
Right. Exactly. Even though I'm in a leadership role, but hey, who am I to judge?
Yep.
So in Scott County, one of the Planned Parenthoods that closed, it led to a HIV outbreak because a lot of the HIV testing was happening at this facility. And there was no longer a place for like the 24,000 people who lived there to go get any kind of testing. And 20% of the residents are living below the poverty line. Intravenous drug use is like pretty prevalent. So that only increases the risk of an HIV outbreak. 2 years later, he's like in full blown epidemic mode. Because again, the opioid crisis was even ramping up more. People were doing intravenous drugs, sharing needles, and you guessed it, more HIV infections. So a lot of people at the time were like, please just set up a needle exchange, like for people who are using, so they can at least get sterile needles if they're using drugs, like don't make it worse. In the beginning, he was very, very, he was resistant to it because he thought he didn't want to promote drug use as he saw it. He's like, well, if you do that, then it's okay to
do
drugs.
He promotes two things: thoughts and prayers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he was really, and he was kind of like, yeah, I'm like, you know, if they just know it's bad, maybe they'll just stop doing it. Like his mentality
That's
around even addiction,
time.
Yeah, yes. was really like archaic. And then once like he finally relented and the needle exchange was opened, the infection rates immediately began to decrease. And he's like, all right, I guess you can like open a couple more around the state then. And they did so. And then like, even after all that, like a group of, specialists in this were like, this was the most preventable epidemic like ever, right. just purely because of like this narrow focus on, abortions. Like all this other, the knock-on effect that he completely ignored or just didn't think was that big of a concern was exacerbated. So,
and now he's in charge of the beach beer virus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's right. As he sees it. I mean, I can only imagine what he, if he wants to do it. I don't know, like, was he asking to do this? Or is Trump just sort of like realizing now, I can't have like people who like are going to tell me scary stuff about science.
Yeah.
So I want somebody who can just like smile the darkness away.
Right. You still think there's a 100% chance that he's the VP by the end of this year?
Yeah,
we'll see how
so.
He does on this coronavirus thing.
That's what I was wondering.
I mean, that would it could be Trump like, just being like, yes, here, hold this bag. Yeah,
fall guy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Because doesn't coronavirus feel like when you watch a disaster movie and they bring you up to speed on how the world went to shit by showing you like headlines?
Right.
Doesn't coronavirus feel like one of the headlines? Like they didn't know at first what had happened and how bad it was going to get.
Right.
I'm not casual about coronavirus.
No, not at all. I think it's definitely disconcerting when you look at like how the government has made it a lot harder to deal with it, especially with all like the defunding of like basic human like health services and getting rid of like people in that like National Security Council who like are the people
the guy
who give
in California
you heads up.
Thought he had coronavirus and had to wait like what 4 days?
Right, they wouldn't let him test because he didn't fit the criteria, which was like being in contact with someone who has coronavirus.
Shouldn't the criteria be I think I
have coronavirus.
Yes. Because the person who just got diagnosed in Brazil was from traveling from Italy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a really good way to not be ahead of the curve when it comes to fighting the disease.
Lackadaisical.
Like, you're just like using whatever the past, like the reported versions are to adjust your criteria for. But I guess testing is in short supply. So that's why they have to, you know, be strict about who they're willing to let take the test in the first place, which again goes back to what we've talked about the CDC being underfunded and all those issues.
Just cutting down on pandemic research. Like Trump was we don't need that.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I don't care.
It's hard for him to care about anything that's directly in front of him.
Right, and usually that's a Big Mac.
Right, and then for Pence, I also worry about I just don't think Pence is one of our brighter politicians. And I also think that he, you know, that millennialist version of Christianity that is looking for the end times and, you know, is excited about the end times really worries me. Anytime you have somebody like that in charge of fighting something that is this, you know, potentially apocalyptic.
It's funny, like the tool you need to successfully combat this is science,
right?
And money, and they don't want to use either.
No, neither one.
So that's when I'm like, but it is interesting theory there, just to be the fall guy. He's like, you see how I set him up?
Yeah, no,
he's
I think
I knew it wasn't contained.
Yeah, and I think anytime people talk about,
because he doesn't need
Pence,
Indiana,
right? And also anytime people talk about Pence positively, it pisses Trump off because his self-esteem is a zero-sum game.
And his Pence is just like so stressed out. I was like, I didn't even say anything, man. Why are you praising me? It gets me in trouble.
Yeah. Right. There's no way that he volunteered for this. Trump definitely was
like. What's funny is like Trump, it doesn't matter who the VP is. Like his supporters are going to support him either way. So it could literally be like, and you know, my running mate is was that guy from the Philadelphia Flyers.
Jeremy Ronan?
Wow, I completely fucked that joke up.
No, but you didn't. The Flyers, now we all get to play the game, and fans are yelling at their
phones.
They're
like,
Scrummy. Guy from the Philadelphia Flyers?
Scrummy.
Scrummy.
Gringby.
Crummy.
No, that's your dog's
come
name.
Come on, we got
Scringly.
Scruffy? Scrummy?
No.
Yeah, no, I know.
Oh, man, I feel so bad for the Zeitgang.
He looks like
Gritty.
Gritty.
Of course.
Nailed it.
Oh,
we never
so
lost.
Many people
Gritty,
listening
baby.
To the show are breathing right now.
Yeah.
Gritty, baby. Gritty, who didn't push that kid. And even if he did, that kid deserved it.
Yes, yeah.
Totally.
Or there's a dad said, didn't he say, like, punched him in the back almost?
Yeah.
The way
yeah.
Said,
yeah. God bless you. And also, this reminds me of Katrina. Like, obviously, it's still very early stages of the complete fuck up by the Trump administration. But again, it's like, we know that this is an incompetent administration.
Oh, yeah.
The only way they have remained viable as a presidential administration is through culture war shit. And, like, it's going to take a huge, very dangerous situation for the real stakes to be exposed, I think, to the rest of America. So hopefully this is not that, because I don't want to die personally. I agree. I'm very not casual about.
I mean, they're saying, you know, a lot of the cases that they're seeing are not intense or extreme,
sure.
But they're saying that's going to actually like make it easier to spread, because people aren't going to be so
right.
sick that they're right. like, yo, I gotta take it easy.
Right.
Well, and it's 20 times as deadly as the flu.
Right.
So it's not
depending
it's,
on yeah what your immune system is like
right.
too.
Right.
Like just in terms of on a person to person basis, you're 20 times more likely to die from coronavirus than the flu, which is, you know, not good because
yeah,
as we've talked about, the flu kills a lot of people. It's just, you know, had millennia to spread, so that's why it kills so many more people than the coronavirus now. But coronavirus is something that.
And like, also, like, don't be an isolationist. Like,
yeah,
if you think that, oh well, if we keep it out of here, we're fine. What it can
right.
do to our economy if it like shuts down other countries
mm-hmm.
is can be almost in some ways as catastrophic.
Oh yeah, I mean, they say 60% of manufacturing is already feeling it in this, or 60%
right.
of businesses that are like that have any kind of business remotely related to that region of the world are feeling it
mm-hmm.
already. But hey, you know, that's now that we have like Pence on the squad and basically
yeah,
gagging like scientists to be like, don't talk about anything unless you run it by Mike Pence. That's like, it's fucking dangerous. And then you couple that too with like,
hey, Mike,
yeah.
just wanted to talk to you real quick.
Uh-huh.
So we figured some things out.
Okay.
None of them have to do with prayer. Are you still interested?
Nope.
None of them have to do with prayer?
Mm-mm.
Then I want to talk about none of those things.
Okay.
All right. See you later.
Later.
So I'm going to tell everybody everything's under control.
Right.
Yeah. The fact that they've put a gag order out on government health experts speaking about coronavirus is terrifying.
Yeah. They don't want...
Unless you clear it by Pence.
Yeah.
It's like the cops from Die Hard. It's like just like they're...
The other fucking dimension of this too is when you think about...
make us look bad.
Like a health crisis like this is how many people actually don't have access at all to good health care
right.
or are able to be like, hey, I have to take work off for 2 weeks
how many
to
people,
quarantine myself.
How many people have health care and or go to the doctor the moment they feel a little sick?
Right.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks, is it bad enough that like I'm going to have to go?
One of the reasons I pay for a, and luckily I can, but I pay for a higher grade plan is so that it almost costs me nothing to go to the doctor.
Oh,
so
there's
every
no
time,
barrier to
so
entry.
So every time I go, every time I, a little part of me needs to go, I go.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm like, well, it's going to cost me $5 or 15
right.
bucks. Like,
sure.
fuck it. I might as well go. That's what I pay for.
Yeah.
But if you don't.
And that's a lot of people.
Oh.
And then how many people, even if you do
many.
Have healthcare, is your job going to keep you on when you're like, I think I can't come in?
Right.
Like,
right.
are they going to make concessions? Are they going to have meetings in the boardrooms of like these bigger companies being like, can we like afford to like pay these people? Or I'm sure they can, but do we want to keep paying these people or just completely boot them off of like.
Because China's still on lockdown, right? Their city's still on lockdown.
There still are some cities, yeah.
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 So, like, how are those people paying rent? And then how are they going to pay the rent they owe when they get to go back to work and they don't have money? Like,
yeah, well, I think the.
This is where it all starts to fall.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, and I guess when you look at the even what the health czar, Alex Azar, was saying to Congress, because, you know, he runs HHS, and people were like, hey, we need to talk. Like, what's the fucking deal here? What's the plan? Because we're not convinced you guys know what's going
on. Alex wasn't the guy who said we don't have enough masks, or at first didn't want to answer that question.
Alex is the one who couldn't guarantee that if there was a coronavirus vaccine, that it would be affordable for people.
Yeah.
So Jan Schakowsky from the great state of Illinois, was asking him this question, and his answer is so fucking cynical. Okay, keep in mind, this guy was a former pharma CEO mm-hmm. who, at a certain point, doubled the price of insulin.
Why not? Why
and
not,
when he
baby?
Was being confirmed, they were like, hey, how do we know you're just not going to, like, fucking just be a buddy to the people in the pharma industry?
Because the swamp was drained, Miles. Aren't you paying attention?
Yeah, exactly. So listen to him now when Schakowsky's asking, like, hey, we've got, like, if there's a vaccine, what's the plan here? And is it going to be ready for everyone? Because sure. That's the only way we're going to knock this out. This is his masterful answer.
Reaffirm, then you're saying it will for sure be affordable for anyone who needs it.
I'm saying we would want to ensure that we work to make it affordable, but we can't control that price because we need the private sector to invest. The priority is to get vaccines and therapeutics. Price controls won't get us there.
Mr. Secretary, thank you.
Oh, man. Price
controls
aren't going
to get us there. I love when someone tells you what
they'd
like to say.
Yeah.
Mom, Dad, can I borrow the car? I would like to say that mm-hmm. you will be able to borrow the car, but we're not at the point yet where you need it. Mm-hmm. So until you need it, and I can ensure that everybody is fine with you having it,
yeah.
I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. I'd like to say you could borrow
I'd
it.
Love to say this would be affordable for everyone. Right. I would love that.
Also, what's affordable?
Yeah.
Affordable is relative.
I mean, look, what are we talking about?
Some people think a Jaguar is affordable.
Break that word
Animal
down.
And car.
A Ford?
Right.
Ford? Have you driven a Ford lately?
Right. Right.
I don't know. Mm. I can't answer that.
No, that's a good point.
But yeah, like when you look at just how dire things could possibly get, and then these are the answers that we're getting.
Right.
You can't help but be like really cynical about the whole thing.
Well, let's talk about how we're going to solve this problem in the long run, how we are going to get Donald Trump and Mike Pence out of office. Luckily, again, we're in the capable hands of the Democratic National Committee. And they are willing to give the nomination to whoever they want. That's how democracy works, right?
Yeah. So the Times spoke with like 93 superdelegates, basically, and we're like
93 party officials,
who are the superdelegates for whatever states are representing. And they're all just sort of like, yeah, man, if we have to go to a second vote, I can't say we're gonna grant all of our delegates to the person on top. So we'll see. And all kinds of names are floating around.
They found overwhelming opposition to handing Bernie Sanders the nomination if he arrived with the most delegates but fell short of a majority.
Yeah.
Overwhelming opposition. So it's like, that's just not going to happen. Like, he's not going to get, like, because these are the people who would determine, right? Like,
if it gets there. So unless he blows it out in all of these primaries and pulls up to the convention with the majority, then it's, I would say that there could be some kind of fuckery going on.
Let me ask you guys a question, and I apologize for how many times you probably volunteered it, been asked it, or already answered it.
Mm-hmm.
Could Biden win?
Oh, God, no.
You don't think he
could win?
You don't
think he could?
Biden? You don't think he could win?
I don't think Biden
idiots in 60,000 idiots in Wisconsin. God bless you, Wisconsin. I love you, but that was about the margin. You don't
27,
think,
I think.
27. Okay, even worse. 27,000 idiots wouldn't be like, I don't know, he was all right, and I didn't hate Barack.
The problem is there's a lot of people who are so invested in sweeping change in this election, and like the stakes, depending on what
Not saying I want Biden either.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I have a feeling, like, and this is what I mean. Like, so right now, I think when you look at all the polling and a lot of the momentum is behind Bernie Sanders, if that were to suddenly change, that would deflate a lot of the excitement that's already there to beat Trump.
But are you talking about the middle when you talk about that?
What do you mean?
Because aren't the people like us going to vote no matter what?
Yeah,
like, I'm talking about the middle. I'm talking about the 537 dumb people in Florida hanging chads. I'm talking about like the people who aren't racist, aren't angry, but are probably not that smart,
mm-hmm.
who voted for Trump because they just wanted to see what he could do. And now they definitely are like, okay, he's an idiot. I don't like him anymore. Mm-hmm. Who's the person that they're going to go, but I'll vote for her? or him.
Right.
Who is that? Because it might be Pete.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to even think about that because I'm so, at this point, I'm like, I fucking would hate to have to vote for any of those people.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. That's, I mean, it is a good question, but I think when you look at just what the excitement has been and how diverse the coalitions have been around certain candidates, I'm like, I don't know. It's tough to think that Buttigieg could put together those votes and really motivate African American voters to turn out for him.
Yeah, that's why I think Biden and Sanders are the only ones who really have the diversity of both racial diversity, but also socioeconomic diversity. I agree.
The risk is, right, the Democratic Party as we know it is done either way.
Yes.
Right. Because if Bernie Sanders does take the nomination, it's going to change, as the DNC establishment people see it, they've lost the party.
This is what I just told somebody. Oh, sorry.
And then if they manipulate things and Bernie ends up being the person who has more delegates going into the convention and they give it to somebody else, it's going to fracture a lot of the more progressive people that are just voting Democrat because it's just the left-ish most party that's available.
Right.
And I think that could really lead to a third party coming out of it. Or there's a lot of energy where people are not going to forgive because a lot of people look at the stakes are sort of like, we have people who cannot afford to live. We have people who cannot afford to go to school and educate themselves and have no upward social mobility.
Right.
That every person who is not talking about radical change is fine sort of maintaining this situation we're in. Mm-hmm. Or maybe slight improvements here and there, but not the kinds where people are literally dying for something way better than this. And I think as people become more aware of how these things are working and how the class structure is within this country, they're seeing nah, man, this other thing is bullshit.
Right.
So I don't know.
Because we already have socialism. We already have economic socialism for billionaires.
Yeah.
The government
says
we'll take care of all this stuff, so you don't have to pay any.
Oh, it's literally too weak to fail.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So we'll help you out.
The thing, really quickly, that I'll just say is, I recently told a family member of mine who has voted Republican almost their entire life, but voted for Trump out of that ignorance of well, maybe it won't be that bad, but it's now I don't want to vote for him. I said, if we don't elect a Democratic, this is going to be good for the Republican Party that you love. If we don't get a Democratic president, if we do get one in 4 years in 2024, the Republicans are going to go, all right, we need to come back to the middle here a little bit because we got told in 2020 that they were enough of Trump. But if we get Trump again, then that's just going to tell the Republican Party, stay on this hate train because they like it. They want it. If you are somebody who's a middle-ish Republican who just doesn't like Trump but kind of always votes for, vote Democratic because you're going to get closer back to your party in another 4 years. Otherwise, they're going to go in 2024 and be like, all right, who's the next hate?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the next man or woman of hate?
Yeah, yeah. The hate brand is working.
Yes, but you need to send that signal in 2020 and be like, you got to come back because I don't want to be all the way over here just lighting up tiki torches.
Right.
Just listening to people who've been paying attention to this election and to, where the energy is, I had assumed that the Democratic mainstream, the party officials, wouldn't have they would recognize how damaging and counterproductive it would be to have Sanders get the most votes and get the most delegates, but take the nomination away from him, but. This article just really drives it home that they're not living in the same reality that the people who are voting in a lot of cases are. And it seems like the New York Times is fully on board. This is, I was not strongly in the Clinton or Sanders behind either of those candidates, really. I wasn't. Prior to 2016, I wasn't that plugged into politics.
You're
to be
a Republican,
honest. But I was a Republican, 100%. And then
an abolitionist.
But now I kind of can see what it's like to have what people complain about when they talk about a mainstream media bias, because it's wild. They end the second paragraph of this article saying, And officials in the national and state parties are increasingly anxious about splintered primaries on Super Tuesday and beyond, where the liberal Mr. Sanders edges out moderate candidates who collectively win more votes. So they're already saying that, like, all the other candidates should be allowed to pool all their votes against Bernie Sanders, and that's how the Democratic mainstream should think about it.
God. Well, because it's weird, too. Like, I don't know where you put Warren supporters, too, because they're pretty, like, clear on who they wouldn't vote for either. Because,
right.
like, on the sort of spectrum of, like, radical change, like, she's just, like, she's also kind of a bit on of an island herself mm-hmm. because she's not as, like, she's not saying, like, yeah, well, like, let's let the healthcare system rock the way it is. We'll figure it out. Let's not go too wild on the taxes for the, like, she's not part of that sort of ideology. So I'm curious to know, like, how they factor in if they can just lump all those people together that suddenly they're going to be motivated. I mean, obviously, I think most people who understand the stakes will have to hold their nose and vote for whoever it is based on, like, what the nominee ends up being. But the problem is, I just think that they're really toying with a deflated electorate if something like that happens. Like, and it's just so contested. It's just going to start more infighting.
I think you could end up in a deal where if Biden gets the nomination and wins, he will have a very contested reelection in 2024. Within his own party.
He'll probably get primaried.
Yes.
It'll get hit, 100%. Hit from the left.
Yes.
Exactly. And, you know, I think the other thing about this article, it's almost like they're trying to suppress or make voters, like, a little less enthusiastic by putting articles out like this.
Yeah.
Which I think is, in a way, if I'm being really cynical, that's, like, the most cynical read is, like, they're doing this to keep people from voting during the primaries mm-hmm. and making sure there's enough steam for, like, moderate voters or whatever to get to actually make it to the polls. And other people might just be like, man, fuck this. Like, if you read this, you go, man, fuck this. They're going to fucking steal it anyway. What the fuck?
Well, their worldview is so cynical that, like, it can't help but do that. I mean, I think that is where the energy is coming from, is that for the first time there's something like candidates or a candidate on the left, depending on your feelings about Warren, who aren't just saying what they think will get them, like, the most votes within the Democratic sort of contingent of American electoral politics. It's not like a calculation. It's actually based on, you know, some beliefs, and, you know, it just seems like it's more of a simple, straightforward thing. And I think people are tired of that. And I don't know. It seems like it's no longer viable to do the sort of politics that the Democratic Party still wants to do.
Agreed.
But, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Where are you going
to say? I think people just need to, you know, make sure you go to vote whenever mm-hmm. your primary is.
Yep.
Because really, when you look at it, the more and more you look at it, the stakes are for the sort of mainstream media elite class, or people who, like, are fortunate enough to be college educated, have, you know, six-figure incomes, and probably don't interact with many people who are, like, vulnerable, like, in terms of whether that's because of their sexual orientation, identity, gender, whatever, their class. Those people, I think, they're pretty much in denial, I think, about how bad life can be for others.
Very much.
Right. And they look at it, go, oh, I think the world is bad because I think a couple, like, black and brown kids get shot per year by police. There's, like, really, really violent anti-trans laws out there, like, you know, whether it's to, like, punish doctors who facilitate any kind of medical procedure for them, or, you know, and I think it's bad for a couple kids who live, like, that are at the border in cages.
Yeah, but you know what? Trump's going to end that before that election.
What do you mean?
He's going to reunite families before the election.
Oh, you think it's like the...
Well, yeah, he's waiting.
Haven't they said that he's waiting
until July. Oh, but all he has to do is say it. And it's not going to change. But all he has to do is around, like, July, maybe September, he'll be like, I'm putting families back together. Like, and people... Then you'll have all these just dumb Republicans who are like, well, he did it. That's good. I'm really glad he finally did that.
Well, yeah. So it's hard to see, like... But I guess the thing is, when I read pieces like this, they don't realize, like, how many people are motivated because they feel like the future, their own futures are on the line. That where 4 more years of Trump is unbearable.
Right.
And they can... And it's only a bleak future comes after that. And that's why they're going out for candidates who are, like, true change candidates, because they need to be like, see, every other person isn't diagnosing the systemic problems that are affecting my life so negatively. And if you can't articulate that as a candidate, you can't fix it.
Right.
Right.
So the only people that can are the ones that articulate it. And the people that do articulate it, they're like, oh, fuck. You know, like, what? They're talking about wealth taxes or like other things. And like you read like some of the like the tweets out of the Bloomberg like channel thing. They're like so like the lack of awareness is amazing where it's like billionaires stand to lose a lot of money under a president like Warren or Sanders administration.
Huh. Right.
Like, yeah.
How much do you need?
Yeah. Right. But again, that's right. But those are questions like we're not like we're just not really ready to confront. Really ask ourselves because America's just been about accumulation, like like everything, like how many TVs can you get, how much land can we grab?
There's this story that we're going to talk about, I think, on Monday's episode that's about how Bloomberg fucked up the 2010 blizzard. I was in New York that, and like they just never cleared a lot of the streets. But his metric for success was that the Broadway shows were on. He was like, yeah, well, we got Broadway on, so, and we had it on in record time. And it's like, I feel like that's such a good metaphor for just like how the mainstream media and how the Democratic Party thinks about it is they just like look at the things that are like being seen by tourists and being seen covered by the media. Mm-hmm. And like, that's all that matters. And they're not worried that like streets in Queens and, you know, Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, like, people are dying there because the ambulances can't get to them. Like, it's wild. And that ended up being, like, a historic
disaster. I think that's how you know is, like, you can tell how tapped in someone is when based on what their barometer for suffering is.
Right.
For Mike Bloomberg, a bad time is if you can't get to a Broadway show.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's like, uh-oh, what?
Right.
Because the other things are abstract. What do you mean your medications cost too much?
Right.
Right.
That's like, I can, because
he thinks it's affordable.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yet, but oh God, but Broadway.
Yeah.
I like to do that. And if I can't do that, then things got to be, something's got to be up.
Right. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And it might be the end times. Four beards. That was like a CNN headline for, hey guys, and with the coronavirus, it might be the end times for beards.
Oh no. Yeah. I mean, the CDC had to put out a basically an infographic of like facial hairstyles because they're like, look, as coronavirus spreads, people will probably have to wear like sort of face piece respirators to cover their like mouths and noses to prevent any germs from coming in, any bacteria. And they're basically saying like, if you got a beard, or any facial hair around where the mask sits, it's not going to actually seal properly.
Right.
So it's becoming a germ highway, essentially. But what's funny is how many different, like,
look what made the cut, baby.
Yeah.
Look what made the cut, baby. The soul patch, baby.
So if you're clean shaven, you're safe.
And it got a
safe.
Green check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only a few.
Somebody check. Once told you the world is going to roll you, then you are fine.
Soul patch works. You can have sideburns. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Little pencil stash. That's good. If you want the little toothbrush or, you know, Hitler. I don't know how many people are still rocking that, but they still had to include that.
Have you guys, you guys have broken down masks for everybody here, right? If you are healthy, the mask is doing nothing for you. If you are sick, that's what the mask is for. It keeps your germs in. The masks do not keep the bacteria completely out from you by wearing them. It's the greatest way to contain it if you're sick. It is does almost nothing for you if you're healthy.
Right.
Well, they, again, but you can't have a beard and keep others safe.
That's the one thing I think
that's true.
Yeah. The one way I do think it helps is you, like, one of the ways that you can get sick is by, like, rubbing your nose or rubbing, like, getting, like, germs on your hands and then, like, getting them in your mouth. And I think it's, like, you're just less likely to do absent, like, biting of the nails or, like, shit like that that would normally spread germs. Or picking your nose or absently, just, like I just realized I'm doing right now.
Yeah,
sure. Why don't we just start setting up like portable hand washing stations in like every entrance and exit to every airport.
We would have done that,
every,
but we kind of slashed that budget.
Right, exactly.
But like that's something we could do. Yeah. Like when you get off the subway train in whatever major city you're in,
just
hand
boom,
washing
boom,
system
boom,
right
boom.
There. Yeah,
Purell. Purell the
it's
fuck
like,
out
you
of
you can't earth. Walk in and out of any room in a hospital without there being a place to... sanitize your hands.
Yeah.
Like, let's get out in front of that and just start putting them at airports and major, like, transportation centers.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a good start?
Yeah.
And it's just right there in front of you that you have to walk around. You either do it or you're going to have to walk around it. But either way, you're being reminded, clean your fucking hands.
Yeah.
The, like, you know, masks are typically worn more in Asian cultures than in the United States, and that's something that I think is probably not appreciated by a lot of people in the United States, is that they're worn by people who are sick and don't want to spread the illness. They're not like wearing it because they're afraid that you're sick or something. Right.
Yeah, because that's how an American would wear it.
Right. An American would wear it out of self-interest, but people in less...
Do
like,
it to not inconvenience others.
Other people.
Yeah.
They're like, what are you going
like
to fucking get me sick?
Since SARS, I've seen it mass pretty consistently in LA.
Yeah.
It really, since SARS is when it feels like it really kind of became...
I mean, like in Japan, it's just such a regular thing. It's just a normal thing. It's
if you're
got
sick,
a cold,
you
just strap your mask on and then you don't have to worry about people being like...
And there's some really cute ones too.
Yeah, you can get some designer. You can get some Louis V's, baby.
Oh yeah, little bathing ape masks. You know, do a TikTok dance video in one.
Mm-hmm. Some Versace ones.
Versace, one of my favorite brands. Versace. Yeah. Anyways, there's some amazing hairstyles. It's got what 50. Like it's basically got like 50 different facial hairstyles. Yeah, I was trying to count it.
Telling you the yeses and nos.
Yeah, telling you the yeses and nos. But you can tell that it was a graphic designer who just, you know, got the project got away from them and they were having way too much fun doing
it. It looks like that match game thing.
Yeah, it does.
Like
guess
who?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it the guy with the Fu Manchu?
Just some of these. It almost feels like all they need to do is do one diagram and say no hair in
the Homer Simpson area.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep your Homer Simpson area. And so if there's hair there, it's not good. But they're getting so specific where people are like, well, what if I have a circle beard versus an extended goatee? It's like, motherfucker, just look at the thing.
Right.
If mask is touching hair,
right,
don't fuck, it ain't going to
happen. You walk into an old school barber shop and they're like, look at these, pick one.
But what if I have lost style stubble?
Yeah.
What about us?
Yeah.
What about people like
Sawyer?
Stubble's not
good. You're talking about Sawyer level?
Stubble no good?
Stubble no good. Stubble,
you just got to stay clean shaven the whole
clean
time?
Clean shaven, soul patch.
I've always
been a long time since I was clean shaven.
What do you call these things? Sideburns. Hey, want to get some of these milk sideburns from Billy Madison? Yeah. And mustaches, basically. Or you could rock the Zappa.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Can you do the John Waters mustache? Probably because it's close to the lip, right?
Yeah, very close to the lip.
As long as it's not coming out the sides. You know, if you're going with like the Salvador Dali vibes,
yeah. Right.
Then sorry. Sorry, Salvador.
The handful of times that I've had like a long beard or like a long mustache.
You look great a beard, Jack.
Oh, man. It's so gross, though, because I end up like sucking on it. And,
oh, don't do that. Clean up that patch.
Ugh, gross. and also, like, yeah, it's just food in there. I'm also a very sloppy person. It's like, found a chicken wing in there once.
You did? Yeah. And a chicken?
Yeah. And a chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And it was connected to the rest of a chicken.
Yeah, and he was like, dude, stop pulling my wing, bro.
Amazon has opened the human-less grocery store.
Yeah.
Better than a human grocery store where you buy humans, but still, this feels a little bit post-apocalyptic. It's called the grab-and-go concept.
Yeah. I mean, they had the other one, like, they had that convenience store.
Yeah,
in a few places, like
where it's
on
like
main
all monitored by cameras, right?
So it's basically that same exact vibe where, like,
you sign in when you walk in,
you walk
so they
in,
know you.
Scan your QR code
yep.
from your
Amazon
tattoo that's on the base of your skull. Uh-huh. When they walk in, they scan you in. Uh-huh. And then from there, like, same thing, tracks your movements, knows when you pick stuff up, immediately starts calculating it. Once you walk out, boom, it just charges you. They do have some people there, obviously, like, stock the shelves and, like, answer any questions. But, you know, like, the thing is that has more than, like, those convenience stores that are mostly just, like, snacks and shit.
This is,
like, you know, full-on produce and all kinds of other stuff. So, you know, get your meats, your beers, what have you, and walk out without having to interact with a human.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the selling point.
But that's the death.
Yeah.
That's the death of us. It's interesting. Like, one of the ways, most effective ways to torture a prisoner of war is like lack of human interaction.
Yeah, isolation.
Yeah. And now we're just integrating it into our life.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's cheaper, man. If I can just build these cameras scan you.
I still go to the bank to deposit checks.
You don't use a mobile app?
No, fuck no. I want to go out and talk to somebody.
On a moment by moment basis, it's hard for me to realize that I need human contact. Like, I think I would fall into this trap very easily.
That's the sad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's why we're all, like, it's super comfortable and gives you something to do, like, just like your phone. Like, you just, like, look down at your phone instead of interact with someone. But
do you ever wonder that? Like, at a party, you're at, like, a, you know, we usually have a lot of them around the holidays and things, you know, we get invited to and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm constantly at parties, bro.
And you say to yourself, like, I'll just get up, you know, I'll get up. If I don't know anybody here yet, or the people I do know haven't showed up. And then I think to myself, if this was 1994, what would I do? What would I do right now? I guess I'd either stand here quietly and then maybe I'd end up talking to someone, or I would just go talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, I'll try to do that sometimes because you can just run away into your screen.
Oh, it's so
and then
easy.
You're unapproachable.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
I think I've really tried to like do that less because I realize how easy it is to avoid even like thinking.
Mm-hmm.
By just going to your phone immediately and be like, you know what? Like, if I'm waiting for something, or if like I'm in a line, it's so easy. Like, oh, fuck it. Let me open something up and read something, whatever.
Right.
Versus like just having your phone in there and be like, I can handle 10 minutes and then just kind of look around, take shit in, maybe talk to somebody, think a little bit and not having it be such a, not that it's terrifying, but a thing where it's like, I'd rather not.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think it's about trying to make that less of a reflex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
for me,
stores.
It's terrifying when somebody walks up to me. I go, "Oh no!
Oh, oh no!
No!
Oh
no!
Oh
no,
boy!
No.
You're gonna love this grocery store.
Oh boy, they're looking at me. Oh geez, Jack, don't blow it."
And you
this
say
all
this
happens
this
out
loud.
Loud.
Yeah. 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 Sir, your pizza's ready. Oh, thank you.
Oh man. Oof. That was a close one.
I made it, Jack. I'm sure you're still in here and you're still talking to us.
There's a pretty good thread on Reddit that I've been checking out for the past couple days. It's basically the thread is, what is the coolest website you visited that nobody knows about? Mm-hmm. There's just a couple cool things on there. There's one that is temp-mail.org, which instantly gives you an unused email address you can use to do whatever you want.
Ooh.
So you can like always have an email address at the ready to troll people, I guess.
Sure. Sign up
that, for... It's definitely like good to for people who make content to know that that exists, so you can be like, that's probably just a troll, like made up email address. It's so easy to generate an email address these days.
The other one, Free Sandbox.
Free Sandbox
Sandspiel,
is dope.
SANDSPIEL.club. Mm-hmm. It's so simple, like
yes.
MS Paint stuff, but like there's like the physics of like you can build like a wall or water and it'll just like hang, it'll grow plants, you can drop. It's like so, it reminds me of like how simple like early Flash games just used to be able to like take you away.
Yeah.
So yeah, the thread is pretty interesting because I find myself growing a lot of weird fake flowers and then.
I just want to find a site where I can play Snood.
Yeah, Snood was great. There's one site called Neil.fun, which I think is just like a single like designer who like makes these little experiences. But so one of the pages is called Printing Money, made by Neil Agarwal. And it like the dollars pass by at the rate that you make them in these various professions. So minimum wage, $7.25 per hour. The dollars are moving very slow. Teacher, $16 per hour. Software engineer, then you get down to Fortune 500 CEO, and it's $4,000 an hour. It just moves incredibly fast.
Yeah, and then a good way to not have the backs, not caping for a billionaire when you look how fast that money moves, if you just put, what's the hourly pay when I break that down? The
right.
money's flying
Dude,
across.
Scroll yes. down to Amazon revenue.
Amazon's revenue is
Walmart's
wild.
Revenue. Holy shit.
Yeah. It reminds me of like those old like Disney or like Looney Tunes cartoons where like there would be a factory line. It's like pop, pop.
Yeah,
we can't turn it
really
off.
Good.
Yeah.
And I always have that song in my head, man.
U.S. military spending, $84 million an hour. Walmart revenue. Yeah, so revenue, Walmart is actually one of the biggest. I think it is the biggest company in the world, just in terms of the revenue it drives. Just grocery stores and chain stores like that have high overhead.
$514 billion in 2019.
Yeah, the revenue is insane.
A half trillion fucking dollars.
Yeah. Anyways.
You know what Costco did? $152 billion.
Oh, really?
Amazon did $232.
Like, what are the Waltons doing?
Oh, I don't know, man. They're hoarding their money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then again, like...
Go kill some poor John Boy. Okay.
Yeah, or just being like, you know, also underpay our workers, too, and then the government can figure out, like, fill in the gaps for the rest, but also we're not interested in...
Yeah.
Our part in that equation.
I know.
There's also a webpage that tells you how, like, all the different things that have happened since your birth date.
Ooh.
So, here, let's do yours, Dan.
Okay.
What's your birth date?
All right.
A lot has happened in the days since you were born.
Well, that's just cool. Now I know the days.
Yeah. 1,623,000,000 times your heart has pumped.
Well, except for the time I met the love of my life.
Stop. He
then
still
it stopped. It was really bad, actually.
You've taken 289,000,000 breaths.
Wow.
Blinked 312,000,000 times. You've spent 4,816 days of your life asleep. There have been 3 trillion people, 3.2 trillion people born. There's 21% more CO2 in the atmosphere. And because of inflation, what you used to be able to buy with a dollar when you were born is now $3.12 today.
Wow.
And then it keeps on
what's
going.
What's that site called?
That's Neil. This is all fun. Neil.fun.
neal.fun/life-stats.
I'd love to find a site where I just look at mid-century modern furniture.
Yeah.
That's called Pinterest.
No.
Yeah, you can look at a lot of mid-century on there.
I always get
what do you mean? You want a Corbusier Barcelona chair?
They always jerk me around on Pinterest.
Papa Bear chair, dude.
Oh,
you know what a Papa Bear chair is?
No.
You get one of those with the matching ottoman. I'm on a mission in my life to someday have a Papa Bear chair. They're the best.
You really like that one?
Look at that. You don't want to go climb into a conversation den with one of those?
You know, I'm a big whore for the Eames lounge chair with the ottoman.
Eames is great. Eames is great. Look at that Papa Bear chair. Look at it.
Damn, that shit. That's what's funny when you look at these chairs. Like, it's
prices,
like, $6,000 chair.
That's some real ones. God. I have a pair of real mid-century chairs that were in a doctor's office from the 50s,
mm-hmm.
and they're actually in Illinois. I need to get them out to LA, but we had them in our family. And, like, nobody.
Yeah, it's weird, about what they especially were. Like in the 80s, people really didn't give a fuck because everyone was like into like cocaine furniture, basically. Right.
Is there a mirror on this?
Where do I do coke?
It's like of. Exactly. Like, is there a hidden coke slot in here?
Right.
But like, I remember my dad would go places and he would look for like old injection molded Eames chairs and stuff. Like, he would just be somewhere and like flip the chair over to see like the injection mold imprint.
Yeah.
And if it said Eames, he'd be like, "You selling this?" And they're like, it's like from whenever. He's like, "I'm okay, can I take them?" And they're like, Yeah. And he was like hoarding.
This is great furniture.
Yeah.
Oh, I want a Papa Bear chair.
Well, we should we'll put a fund together. We'll share it. Share custody of the Papa Bear chair.
I'm down.
Well, Daniel, it's been a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you, follow you, experience you?
Well, I will start out by saying that every member of the Zeit Gang that I've ever met has been phenomenal. So kudos to you guys for creating a great place for people to hang and talk about what's going on. I say that because so many people come up to me, and I love when they do, so if you're going to be one, don't stop the fun. They come up to me and talk to me after shows. So I love meeting people who listen to this show. Thank you to you guys for providing this outlet.
Thanks.
The opportunities to come do that are April 11th, 13th, and 14th. I will be headlining March 11th, 13th, and 14th. I am headlining Cap City Comedy Club that weekend. There's also fun events going on for the film portion of South by Southwest, which is why there's a weird breakup there. But you can come see me. And then on the, I think it's 19th, 20th, and 21st, we are touring Dumb People Town, my podcast that I do with the Sklar Brothers.
Hey.
And you can see us in Minneapolis, St. Louis, and Milwaukee. And then in April, I will be back in Chicago doing a live Pen Pals with Rory Scovel and a stand-up show at the Lincoln Lodge on the 18th of April. Go to Daniel Van Kirk for all that stuff. And if you are hearing me because of what's right now, say hi after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't bite.
Mm-mm. Unless you ask.
Hard.
Right. Unless you.
Was that Austin Powers?
Yes, I think so.
I don't bite. Hard. Oh, Jesus Christ.
What a great
generation of terrible dad jokes.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. You know what it was? It came through via me. Is that okay? A woman reached out and said, "I know this is a long shot." She just threw this up into Twitter. She said, "I know this is a long shot. Is there anybody in Rochelle, Illinois, that could help a World War II veteran set up his television?" And so somebody saw that and said, "I know a comic from Rochelle, Illinois. I bet he would help." And so then I said, "I guarantee I can get this done." And through the joy of my family members and the internet, we went over to a 98-year-old World War II veteran's house and got
98-year-old
his TV hooked up so that he could start watching Westerns again. And came about through Twitter and social media.
Hey.
If you scroll back through my feed, you'll be able to see pictures of Bert and me trying to get someone to help him. And it all worked out.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Miles, where can people find you?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray, and on my other podcast with Sophia Alexandra, 420 Day Fiancé, because a new season of 90 Day Fiancé just started, so get our takes on that. Mm. Some tweets that I like.
You've been speechless lately after some of those.
100%. 100%. A couple. Joey Clift, past guest at Joey Tainman.
Love Joey.
"I received 3 Bloomberg mailers in the mail yesterday, and if this tweet gets 1,000 likes, I will eat them." He got 1,300 likes on that.
He did?
So he is going to be preparing them, and he will be eating them, and it will be a video.
Joey! Joey and I were on a UCB team together.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Dope. Another one is from Yodoya Travis, Professor Doye. on Twitter. He says, the worst thing that has ever happened to me is once some friends were riffing outside a comedy club and I joined in and Eric Andre stopped the whole riff and said, what was that? Is that a thing people say? And he expected an answer.
Wait, about something they had said?
That Yadoya had said, like in their crew, and he's just been, I don't know. That would shake anyone to their core. Another one from Dana Donnelly, at Dana Donnelly. Rule with all my white boyfriends is for every white guy movie we watch, Fight Club, Godfather, Stepmom, Born, we have to watch the only movie I feel represented in, Lilo and Stitch, 5 times.
Colin Crawford, hello Colin, tweeted, if you ask me, Romeo and Juliet should be called Two Dipshits. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on, Miles. What's that going to be?
All right, let's do, I've been on a Steve Lacy kick since we played that track with him in Thundercat. This is from his album that came out last year, Apollo 21. And this track's called Playground. Again, his music is like so, I don't know, his music and his production is very joyful. They have, you know, they've got that dimension to it. And this track, Playground, is just like, I don't know, I see myself playing on a playground with stars in my eyes. And it's not because of the drugs. So I'm having a good time.
Mm. Speaking of Apollo 21, Creed 3 is coming out.
Yeah, it's in the works.
It's in the works. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We will be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. We'll talk to you then. Bye. Oh, you
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.